You're gonna finish basic training.
Oh, yeah?
You're gonna keep your mouth shut.
Oh, yeah?
You're gonna do everything he tells you.
Oh, yeah?
And you know why?
Why?
Because you talked me into this! That's why, you idiot! It was your idea!
It's Wednesday, October 22nd, 2014, and this is Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
Yes, it is, and I am Eric.
And I am Ted, and today's special Wednesday show should answer some burning questions.
Oh, I'm waiting.
All right. Do the Kansas City Royals have a chance to win the World Series?
No.
Okay. All right, well, do the Patriots have a chance to win all four of their coming games against bona fide playoff teams?
No. Next.
Man, you're not making this easy on me. All right, how about this? Will the Percy Harvin trade work out for the New York Jets?
No.
All right, wait. According to Bleacher Report's Mike Friedman in interviews with several players in the Seahawks organization, is Russell Wilson black enough?
No. Wait, what? Run that one by me again?
Well, hold on. According to
I'll take that back.
According to a recent Deadspin / Bleacher Report article, Russell Wilson isn't black enough for other players on this team.
Okay, so this vaunted team, this celebrated team, this Super Bowl champion group of world beaters, now who have only just recently looked like kind of like the Bosworth Seahawks, but they're worried about how Russell Wilson projects his public blackness persona.
Yep.
Damn it, I knew that there'd be a yes in there.
Yeah, buddy. So,
okay, no, but seriously,
honest to God,
his black, he's not black enough.
Well, this is, I'm gonna go word for word.
Mocha. I mean,
wow, you're killing me.
I mean, really.
All right, so
too much cream in their coffee. I mean, what's going on there?
All right, Bleacher Report's Mike Friedman spent some time musing today on the fallout from the Percy Harvin trade. Now, this is from a Deadspin article.
Fallout.
The fallout of the... Well, you know what? I think that the word fallout's being used here in respect to... This is sort of a... kind of an anemic offense right now. And why would you take one of your...
Well, I don't know if it was anemic offense.
I'm sorry?
I mean, they put up quite a bit of offenses last week.
Well,
so if anything, the defense is a little bit off kilter.
Oh, well, without a doubt. But you... Well, when I say... yeah, you're right. I overstate that when I say anemic. But maybe more accurately, Russell Wilson wins football games. But he
does.
But if you take away the most explosive player on the field, which is definitely Percy Harvin.
Twice a game.
Okay, but still you got to plan for it. You got to be ready for it.
Yes, and that I'll give you. They do have to plan for Percy Harvin.
When's he going to run that jet sweep or that rocket sweep or whatever? And he's also still a deep threat no matter what.
Yep.
So,
even though he can't seem to really get open too often.
Yeah, maybe. Well,
but still.
So, given that,
like I said, he's good for two plays a game.
But there's also been, and this is actually a really good way to describe it, a moody malcontent. That's what they called him.
Baldwin.
Well, they've basically painted Harvin as this moody malcontent. That's a good way to put it. But this, when they say fallout, a lot of the stuff that I had heard coming out of that locker room was Skittles didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Sherman didn't like it. Russell
Wilson.
Well,
Baldwin certainly didn't like getting punched in the face before the Super Bowl last year.
Couldn't agree more.
I mean,
it was Golden Tate.
Picture.
That was Golden
Tate.
Golden Tate.
Yeah, Golden Tate. You're right. Golden Tate. But I guess he's had problems with Baldwin this year. But yeah, I mean, even showed the picture where Golden Tate had a black eye right before the Super Bowl.
And this is what Percy Harvin left this team. So, but there was a little bit of fallout because, hey, you know what? For every 10 people who hate an asshole, two people like him.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so continuing on with this.
I could go so many directions with that
one,
buddy.
That's why I just kind of shuffled past that one right there. Yep. Now, citing anonymous Seahawk.
Anonymous. Yes.
An anonymous Seahawk player, hold on. Freeman reports that a big reason Harvin was traded was that his continued animosity toward quarterback Russell Wilson, which was dividing the locker room into a pro- an anti-Wilson camp.
Okay, so again, I'm going to go back to the vaunted Super Bowl group of world beaters. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So throwing that down. They just won the Super Bowl. The year before that, He took them very deep, deeper than anybody thought they'd go. And yet you're telling me there is a division in the locker room over Russell Wilson, whether they like him or not? They like winning? And do they like putting on the jewelry? Do they like hoisting the trophy?
They, from what I understand, they're putting that on the defense. It was the defense that was being compared to the 85 Bears. How's that working out for you right now?
Yeah, no. So, I mean, granted, their defense was very good and very strong, but you get nowhere without Russell Wilson. You get nowhere without Marshawn Lynch. It wasn't just the defense that got him that Super Bowl win. This is not the Ravens of, 2000?
What is it, 07?
Or
well, there was the, yeah. The,
no, know, I mean, I'm talking about the Trent Dilfer Ravens.
All right, so that was, yeah,
that's not that situation where everybody knows the defense won that World Series.
That World Championship.
That World Championship, that Super Bowl was their defense.
There was also Brad Johnson's Buccaneers when Tampa 2 first hit the scene.
Exactly.
So, yeah, and there was, you know, so there's been, yeah, fine. There's a history throughout the NFL. There's this running thread that on occasion, somebody hits on that formula with personnel, scheme, the whole nine.
But it wasn't just the defense. Boom. It was the whole package.
I agree. And you know I kind of have this, like, I'm an anti-Seahawks guy. I'm like the 13th man.
Yep.
And given that.
Sitting there with your boo-boo face on, looking at him, shaking your head.
Yeah.
No. Not having it.
Sergeant someone from London called.
It will not like you. It will not like you.
So, well, near the end of his riff on the Seahawks, Freeman hits us with this. Quote. There is also an element of race that needs to be discussed.
Racism, no.
No, wait, hold on. My feeling on this, and it's backed up by several interviews with
his
Seahawks
feeling,
players.
So
let me finish this. Wait, no. Wait. Let me just make sure I read this. And again, quote, there is also an element of race that needs to be discussed. My feeling on this, and it's backed up by several interviews with Seahawks players, is that some of the black players think Wilson isn't black enough. Period.
Dude, that doesn't even make any sense. What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. And, like, this is where I think there might be, like, is there a cultural disconnect for you and I in this spot where we don't understand that because it doesn't, like, it never affects us. It doesn't come up.
Like, well, if you watch Key and Peele like I instructed.
It's on my DVR, man. I apologize.
They
I haven't
touch
had a chance
on
yet.
That because they're both mixed. So they do touch on that jokingly from time
okay.
to time.
Okay. Well, seriously then, where's that disconnect? Like, how is this happening where there's this strange thing about the blackness of a player? Like, so America.
He's not black enough, so he's not down. Well, I mean, what are they saying?
I don't know.
Like, what does that mean? Is he because he's well spoken?
Is it the thing
he's
about
a mix? So he's not his skin's not dark enough. What is that? What does they mean by
this
black?
This is what I'm asking. And now, okay, so you take I'm gonna.
That's irresponsible journalism. You're not even backing it up with what that means.
I'm gonna describe an individual for you. Stanford graduate, near the top of his class, 3-year starter on defense. Made a run at a national championship when nobody thought that they would or should.
But he's black enough.
Moves into the NFL, is an NFL Defensive Player of the Year, and a Super Bowl champion. Okay?
Yeah.
Who am I describing?
You talk about Richard Sherman.
Okay, I'm talking about Richard Sherman. A massive percentage of the viewing public calls him a thug.
Right.
A thug.
Haven't been calling him lately, but that was a big thing last year.
No, but and that was the big thing last year.
It's a little
year.
Bit more quieted down this year, but still, it's still out
But
there.
It's still out there, right? So Richard Sherman is a thug.
Yep, so that means he's black enough.
That means he's too black. Oh, see, that's where I'm going with that.
Okay.
He's too black.
All right.
Right? So he's from Compton. He puts a lot of money back into the community. Like, this guy does things that you don't expect a thug to do. This guy is a... He's a philanthropist, and he's got his foundation. He puts community centers. This guy is the salt of the earth. Mm-hmm. Except he trash talks on the field, trash talks to Skip Bayless, and acts like a thug whenever he gets a chance to. So apparently, to the viewing public, he's too black.
And Russell Wilson is too middle of the road.
I don't think that's the
politically
thing.
Politically correct.
This is where it's killing me.
Respectful. What? Well, I mean, what is
well,
it?
Well, is it because
he
like that's
no controversy?
You hit the exact word. Like, it's is it white to be respectful, articulate, well-spoken? Like, and I don't want to turn this into a white versus black conversation.
No, but
I
want to
understand.
It's like that whole thing of that kind of backhanded comment, and you hear it over the years. You're so well-spoken.
Yeah, oh
and then
my
a period
God.
At the end of that, but what they really mean is for a black guy.
For a black guy, which is ludicrous.
Yeah. Anytime you're telling somebody that they're so well-spoken and they happen to be black, that is so racist.
That's, yeah, like, why the person's just a, yeah, the person's just
so
a...
So he speaks English properly?
So Russell Wilson goes out, does his endorsements, wins a Super
clean
Bowl.
Clean-cut
kid, and because
articulate.
He's that...
Yeah, because...
Be careful, because articulate is another way to say well-spoken. So be careful. Mm. So you have Russell Wilson going about his business, doing his thing. If he's not black enough, does that mean he's too white? That's a question. That's an honest question.
Is there really any does that exist?
I don't know. That's my question.
Can you be too white?
Are these several Seahawks players, are they saying... Russell Wilson acts too white. Is that the answer? Is that the other way of saying he doesn't act black enough? Or he's not black enough? Forget about
that. By the way, and there's no... It's funny. I mean, you almost assume that these players, unnamed players, are black.
Huh. That's funny. That was my assumption.
Yeah,
sure.
Right. But wouldn't that be... I mean, there's no way of knowing.
Because there are several unnamed players.
Yes, of course. But my question is like you said, a little divisive. I don't see how any locker room can be divisive when you have a quarterback that has won you a world championship.
A world championship. Just call it a world championship. You don't have to call it a Super Bowl.
Yeah. A world championship. So, I mean.
That's the thing. And so we brought it up. You said it in our open. This vaunted defense. This almost unstoppable force. Okay, can't be beaten at home. Got beat at home by the Cowboys.
Yep.
All right. Okay, fine. There's no way on earth. And remember, we actually made fun of this. Earlier in the year when Sam Bradford blew out his knee in one of our shows,
we made a joke about how they finally opened the window for the likes of San Francisco and Seattle to
finally win the West. And we made a joke about the fact that the Rams have no chance.
Yep.
Guess what? You didn't get beat by the Rams. You got tricked and fooled and embarrassed. Like
were so many different parts in that game that Seattle could have, won that game. And that's the fake punt
return thing. Yeah.
And then the
fake punt.
The fake punt itself.
And then the fumble recovery at the end. Like
exactly.
Things like that.
Oh, well, yeah, they did get screwed on that. But still, at that point, they already put themselves in that position. So that's on them.
So, okay. But now here's a big thing for me. This is why I don't think Pete Carroll is a long-term, viable, successful coach.
Because of what's going on right now?
Because of this type of thing. Like, you get this type of thing in an over-emotional, rah-rah rocket room.
I was just going to say, rah-rah-rah coach.
Yeah, and you get this sort of thing where players have no worry about speaking their mind. They have no filter. They have nobody watching for them.
Common sense to be off the record with their names. But the balls to even say that. Like, what question, and we were talking about this earlier, what question could a reporter even ask to solicit that kind of statement that their starting quarterback, their leader, is not black enough? And that being said, okay, if there wasn't a question, what kind of freaking player would put that out there on their own anyway?
Okay, let me ask you a question.
I really would love to know who these people are.
Let me ask you a question. Right now, what's going on with the New York Giants locker room?
What, is there an issue that I should know about?
I don't know. You know why? Tom Coughlin runs a tight ship.
I like that. That's good.
What's going on in the Patriots locker room right now?
We're just getting ready for the Chicago Bears.
As Eric said with his hoodie on.
That's what we're focusing on.
That's it?
Yeah.
Because Bill Belichick runs a tight ship.
That's right.
Okay.
What about the injury report? They're all injured.
Everybody's hurt at this time of year. What's going on in the Seattle locker room?
Yeah. Well, apparently Percy Harvin's been assaulting people, mm-hmm. and and being an overall disruptance in the locker room to the point where they were actually just going to let him go if nobody bought him.
That was one.
Bid on him. And, you know, two, now the quarterback's not black enough, and there's some divisiveness in the locker room about who supports him and who doesn't.
Number three, there was actually a pro and anti-Wilson section of the locker room. Ridiculous. Okay, this is the kind of thing that happens. This is this BS that you get from a guy like a Pete Carroll.
But how come you didn't see that the last couple of years when they were winning? So it's like all coming to a head now? People are too comfortable? What is that?
Let me ask you this question. What happens when the Patriots get blown out on Monday night, what comes out of the locker room? Blown out Monday night against Kansas City. What came out?
Absolutely nothing.
No. Something came out.
All right, talk to me.
It's time for us to get ready for Cincinnati.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Absolutely nothing. Yeah. It was, no, we're over Kansas City. We're thinking about Cincinnati.
We lost that game. We're going on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, said it multiple times.
Yeah, that was the funniest series of injuries.
Classic Bill.
That's classic you.
He lets me call him Bill.
Well, it's because you borrowed his hoodie. So that's what I'm saying.
So answer me this.
Okay.
Who takes control of this? Who reels this in?
The next coach of this team. Because now
really, so you don't think anybody on defense is going to step up?
No,
lead this team and bring that in.
First and foremost, this season is not lost for them.
Of course not.
Except that, boy, doesn't it feel like it's starting to get away from them? Please talk to me about. You're a fan of this team, and I don't bust your balls about it. It's just one of those things. I know you're a Dolphins fan, but you have family in Washington. Like, you've lived out there.
I'm like the Seattle Seahawks. They're my NFC team.
They're your NFC team. Excellent. Well, great way to say it. You're a fan.
Yes.
You're not a flag-waving, face-painting douchebag of a fan.
No.
But, sort of a douchebag sometimes, but that's okay.
It's me.
Yeah. But now you, as an objective and a subjective fan, what do you think? Do you feel like it's starting to get away from them a little bit?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I don't really know what to think. I was thinking about this the other day.
Okay.
What I think about after this loss. Mm-hmm. The numbers they put up offensively were really good.
They were good. They were strong.
50% on third down, over 400 yards passing, two touchdowns, no turnovers. Mm-hmm.
This is against Dallas.
Yeah, time of possession.
This is at home against Dallas.
And at home. Everything says that they should have won that game by 20 points.
Okay.
But they lost it.
Now.
They lost that game. So, now again, a loss is a loss, and a roll is a roll, and a toll is a toll.
Sure.
But it's just how they respond to it. But again, this is coming out. So now everything changes a little bit. Now it's not about responding to the loss. Now it's responding to what's going on inside the locker room.
Now, I have a question to ask you right on that exact point. They got gashed. They got gashed by the Cowboys running game. They got beat on a 3rd and 20. They got beat by Tony Romo. They got beat by Terrence Williams. They got beat by Dez Bryant. They got beat by DeMarco Murray. The Cowboys ground them down into a paste.
Yep.
A couple of weeks ago, Seattle goes to San Diego. I say to you, I don't know. I know they're not going 16-0, so this is a game that they can lose. Seattle goes to San Diego. They get narrowly beat.
So they lost three
out of four, right?
I don't know.
Week two. Week two, they went to San Diego, I think.
No. This was very recently. Right. That San Diego game was just a few weeks ago.
Let me just double-check the schedule.
Yeah, pull that up.
Okay.
Because now that I'm realizing this, if they haven't lost three in a row, it's definitely three out of four. I think unless time is really getting away from me, that San Diego game was more recent than that.
Well, let's just double check on the 2014 season. Now, but regardless, the thing that I want to mention here is during that game, now, let's see here. It was week two. It was. They beat the Packers.
Okay.
They beat the Packers. They lost to, so they have lost to three out of five, okay? But they also had a bye week in there. And their bye week is done. So,
yeah, see, that's what I was actually looking for right now, is to see when their bye week was.
It's
so
gone.
They could hit the reset
button. It's over. It was over in week four. So they went win, loss, win, bye week, win, loss, loss. And now they have the Panthers. Now, can't tell what's going to be, you know, what's going to happen there. And that's irrelevant right this second. But now going back to week two, Seattle plays the Chargers. The Chargers win 21-30.
They're 3-3, right?
They're 3-3.
Yeah.
Now, the Chargers beat the Seahawks in San Diego. Banner day for the Bolo tie.
Yeah.
Big day for his tight end.
Yes.
Wide receivers make a few plays. At the end of that game, somebody went on to Twitter or whatever in the newspaper from San Diego and said, we have just figured out the Seahawks.
Yes, and I remember us commenting on that. And
how saying, ridiculous it was.
Yeah, be like, slow down, guys. You won a game.
You just lost 30-23 against the Cowboys at home, the place where you've lost one in the last 20 games.
Yep.
And you just lost on the road to the Seahawks, to the Rams, 26-28, and it wasn't that close. Did.
Well, no, it was that close.
It wasn't for three quarters.
They had to pull off a fake punt. They had to get...
They had to pull off the fake punt in the fourth quarter.
Extremely favorable, you know, bad call.
But again, you're talking about the fourth quarter.
But you're saying it wasn't that close.
It wasn't. Close. Okay, you know what? For three quarters of that game, it wasn't that close.
So what? They were up by a couple of touchdowns at one point. That's nothing. Not when you're the St. Louis Rams.
Okay. Well, it wasn't that close.
It was close.
So, regardless. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what? If the Rams beat you, you suck. All right. Period.
Really?
Think about
the, that's really? What our if sports, the Rams, sports analysis has come down to.
You know what?
If you lose to a bad team, you all of a sudden suck.
If you lose,
well, I guess that throws everything out the window.
If you lose in an embarrassing way like that, with getting burned on a fake punt, they got burned on special teams.
Yeah.
Their offense was fairly good. But how on earth do the Rams put four touchdowns on the board against this team? This is the greatest defense of a generation. It's the Legion of Boom. It's never going to. My God, did somebody figure something out? I'm asking you honestly.
I don't think so.
So you don't. You now all what?
No, they're just not. They're not. They're not playing to their level. Right
are the
now.
Seattle rules affecting them at all?
No, no. I don't think they're being handcuffed by the penalties and all that stuff. I think that either. You can call it hubris. You know, you could call it
again being a symptom a of the rah-rah. Okay,
you know, being too cocky. You know, I don't know. I'm not in the locker room. We're not in their heads, so we don't know if they were taking these teams for granted.
You know, it's funny. Apparently, there was enough journalists in the locker room to find out that Russell Wilson's not black enough.
Yeah,
what the hell is that?
That's what I'm saying. It's right now. I don't know what to think about that team. I don't know what to think about that team. That floored me again. You know, found out about this an hour ago, this whole not black enough. I mean, that's embarrassing.
How that's did you feel after they beat the Packers in the Fail Mary rematch after week one?
Yeah.
How did you feel about them?
You know, that more of the same.
They curb stomped.
Yeah, more we're going to see more of the same of what we saw last year.
Correct.
Yep.
How'd you feel?
3-3. That's not the team that
and
I
now,
saw last
now
year.
Now you're sitting in that chair right across from me, and you're saying, I don't know what to think about this team.
No. Nope.
Eric and I are going to be back after a quick break. We got a real funny list for you. And don't forget to hit us up on Twitter, at Eric and Ted ICS.
We'll mix in a little bit of World Series talk, too.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait.
And our website, ericandted.com.
Hit us up on Facebook, at facebook.com/EricandTed. And look us up on iTunes. Just search Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
So wild and
hope y'all enjoyed that. And welcome back to Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social. And I'm Eric.
And I'm Ted. And now, real quick, I asked you in the open, and we were kind of tongue-in-cheeking it a little bit, but I got to tell you, after watching Madison Bumgarner last night, I got to think San Francisco on the road, they looked like...
What a clinic. What a clinic put on. Obviously, they had the offensive output. That goes without saying.
Sure.
But I don't think you get that offensive output without him absolutely shutting down and just, again, putting on a pitching clinic.
They broke down one of his three-pitch strikeouts, and he had started the exchange with a first-pitch fastball, 96 miles an hour, went back with his changeup, 86 miles an hour.
86, with the same arm motion, same release point.
Everything.
10 miles an hour is a huge difference on a changeup when you're pitching 96. A
dude looked like he corkscrewed into the ground, right? Then he goes with that 12-6.
Yeah.
Curve.
Yeah, that thing. North-south curve, that'll kill you.
That thing looked like it. And you know, it's so funny. Sometimes we say things like words like shut down corner, or we say falls off the table. That curveball falls up. This was the absolute definition of it.
The meatball fell off the table and onto the floor and out that door.
It sure did. And so they take the first game on the road, 7-1.
Yeah.
I don't think they
got to run.
And I don't think Kansas City comes back. I don't want to say comes back from this because it's only one game.
It's only one game. Okay, come talk to me when you know the Giants take both of Kansas City's home games. They're going into San Francisco up 2-0. Then I got you on that. If Kansas City bounces back tonight and walks away with the win, it's like any other series. It's brand new.
Be it for me as a New Englander to say such a gross statement.
I can feel it, though.
I am so sick of the Giants. and that's why...
I'm sorry. I told you this before we started.
Yeah.
When I said, no, I really hope that they do something because I do not want to see the Giants win 3 World Series.
It feels like
I can
like
say World
me.
Series now. World Series.
Yeah, right?
World Series in 5 years, man. I can't do it.
You know, it's one of those things that, like, it's just such a... it's sort of starting to feel like the Red Sox West, the LA Dodgers, can't get by the Yankees West, the San Francisco Giants. And this is the type of thing that as I'm watching this, and you said clinic, right? This was a clinic at every position. This was a team that looked experienced, calm, collected, ready to explode. And they looked like they went out and played against the minor league affiliate. And that's the thing that really bothers me about this for Kansas City fans. And I'm, I guess, you know, for the sake of the conversation, I'm a Kansas City fan for the next couple of weeks. And I do hope that they do it. But another important thing came out this week that I wanted to ask you about, unless you want to go back to the World Series for a second.
Well, I mean, unless we're done talking about
baseball. No, go ahead. Talk to me more about it if you want.
You know, no, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, the game's just kicking off now, obviously, so there's no score. It's, you know, 8:10 Eastern time right now.
Yeah.
So we won't be doing any scoreboard watching tonight while we're on air. I'm sure we'll have some to talk about when we do our Sunday show, if we can fit it in with all the football that we'll be talking about.
Yeah, right.
I just really want to see something special happen out of Kansas City. For me, it would be so anticlimactic to watch this team go down, you know, 4-1, or even get swept.
And that's what it felt like last night. It felt like a sweep.
I really would hate to see that for the season to culminate in something like that. They hadn't lost a game all postseason going into the World Series, Kansas City Royals. So this is their first loss. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a little bit telling. See how they respond.
This is going to tell us everything that we need to know.
Yeah, you know, it really will. I mean, it almost sounds, you know, obvious because it is tough to come down from 2-0, especially when you lose both of them at home. But no, this game is going to tell us a lot. Even if they lose a close one, I think it tells us a lot.
So
we'll see how that shakes out, but I'm definitely rooting for the Royals all the way on this. I'd like to see them win the World Series this year.
When you got to the Royals' vaunted bullpen and it couldn't do anything, and that was James Shields' third shortest start in his career.
Yeah, would he go out in the fourth? So he pitched like 3 1/3 or something.
And then you get to this, like, what's supposed to be this shutdown you know, agency right in the middle.
You're already screwed if you're putting in your bullpen in the fourth inning.
Yeah, and now that this goes to ask the question, like, who goes on short rest? Like, who goes out there and throws extra innings? And like, this is the type of problem now that Kansas City faces.
Especially with Shields, obviously. I mean, I'm not sure that's a guy you want to see back on short rest, given his performance, even though we didn't have to pitch much. Again, some guys, some days you have it, some days you don't. You know, we know we've seen the best pitches. You know, you got Peavy going tonight.
That's
the only part of me that says, hey,
Casey's got a chance.
No, I like Peavy.
I love him.
Have a puncher's chance. They're not going to be dominated by Peavy. But then again, I've seen Peavy pitch some gems. You know, all of a sudden he's got that that fastball, that sinking fastball, and getting those ground outs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I mean? So, I mean, he could go out there and give up one run and three hits, but he could also go out there in five innings and give up 10 runs.
Well, and with Peavy, he was working off of he was working on a record, and he was working on basically the highest ERA imaginable in the AL. Yeah. Speaking of records,
without a win,
another record fell in the last weekend.
Yeah, so let's talk about this Peyton Manning.
All right.
Is that 5'10" or is it 5'08"?
No, he broke the 5'08".
He's at 5'10" right now.
Now, I have to say, all right, let me ask you this. How do you think the reaction of the general viewing public was?
See, I think we differ on this one a little bit. I thought it was underwhelming.
Do you think the record was underwhelming that he broke it or anything like that?
Just
or
the
do you
response,
think
the response to it was underwhelming. The little keep away was a little cheesy because we found out it was planned by him as well. If it was one thing, if the guys came, hey, if he breaks it, we're going to play keep away. But apparently he knew that too.
Yeah.
So a little corny, a little cheesy.
Yeah, okay. And see,
but hey,
I think I'm starting to become jaded in a couple of spots. Number one, that corny.
Talk to me.
All right. The shirt that they sold. Okay. You remember hashtag respect with the two in it? Did you see the shirt?
I saw this, man.
History with the 18.
Hatery.
Right.
That's what it says.
Yeah, hatery. But it says history, and the IS is an 18.
Last time I checked, the S doesn't look like an 8.
Hatery.
at least respect, you turn around an S and it's a 2.
Right, fine.
So that made sense.
Okay, so hashtag scam then, because I'm turning that around too.
It just doesn't make sense.
So
18, come on, man.
Then I hate teen this record.
Yeah.
This is stupid.
Well, I don't mind the record. I hate the shirt.
Okay, so I hate the shirt. I hate the canned response, all this other stuff. But I also think that Brett Favre began his career, the game was played a little bit differently. I don't necessarily think Brett Favre's the guy who needs to hold on to the record. I don't care who has the record.
No, you're right. But it's also I don't really like getting into those conversations when you start to get into the true or not. Well, things were different then, and you know the cornerbacks could be more aggressive and
okay.
Whatever.
So, do you think this record's going to? All right. So, where do you think Peyton Manning ends up? Where, who do you,
I think he hits
somebody
600?
All right. And do you think anybody breaks the record?
No, I don't think so.
I definitely do.
I definitely don't think so.
I think that there's a guy in high school right now who in 20 years is going
to
have
in 20 years won't even be able to sign his own name because he'll be so concussed.
Peyton Manning got there. Peyton Manning's gotten there. Yeah. There's been plenty of guys who played 18 years in the league.
I only see this one guy that's going to have a chance of breaking this record.
Andrew Luck.
That's right.
Yeah, that's my favorite quarterback in the NFL. He's the best quarterback in the NFL.
How can he not be?
Yeah. He's the everything this guy does.
He's the real deal.
Hey, wait, you know what? I'm a little bit hesitant to say that because I don't think he acts white enough.
What?
Yeah. Okay, Russell Wilson.
Actually,
yeah.
He's anybody.
Yeah, he's even in Indiana, for God's sakes. But let me ask you this. I think that record is primed to fall in the next. It's going to take 20 years. I don't think somebody in the NFL is going to do it now if it's not Andrew Luck. But I think that record falls someday. Whatever.
Yeah. I don't see it, but I
Let's do an impromptu list then. Eric and I kind of, I don't want to say that we're historians of any particular game, but we're just like you guys.
The students of the game.
We know all sorts of records from all sorts of teams, all sorts of games. Give me an unbreakable record. Any sport, anything you
want.
Well,
I mean, the easiest one is DiMaggio's.
Oh, the 56. Yep.
Nobody will ever have a 56-game hit streak. And I'll go further. Not further because this was the record. Although, what was the one record that he would have given up? Well, he would have given up that hit streak.
What's that?
Hitting over 400.
Hmm.
He made no bones about it. He wanted to be the guy that hit over 400 in a series. He wanted it so bad.
In a season, yeah.
In a season.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted that so bad.
And we know who has that record.
That's correct, Teddy.
The splinter. Yeah. The kid.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah. Yeah, Teddy
An
Williams.
Institution here.
Yeah.
We Eric and I both took our hats off and looked to the sky when we just said his name.
Yes.
All right, so the kid. You're going with the 56-game hitting streak.
Yeah,
then.
So 56-game hitting streak is not going to be broken in either. I don't think anybody's going to hit 400 either.
All right, you know what? I think that, okay, given those two, I think that it's more likely a guy gets to 400.
Absolutely. I can't, absolutely. But I still don't think it's going to happen. But yes, if you had to pick one that would have fall out of those two,
now,
obviously nobody's going to hit 56 straight
and,
games.
And by the way, to message to any future Major League Baseball players, if you are right there on the cusp and you start and you get to 400, and there's two games left in the season.
Play them.
Play them. Don't puss out.
Yep.
Teddy played him.
Yep. Doubleheader, right?
Yeah. Mm. To close it out.
Yes, he did.
And I think he got a home run. Home run or a double in his last at bat.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'm going to have to go with, you know what I don't think is going to fall? I don't think anybody is going to break Ripken's.
The Iron Man.
Yeah. Ripken's consecutive games. What was the number?
26-32.
Right around there. Right in that wheelhouse.
Yeah, 26-32. That'll never be broken because people aren't that stupid.
I think that Cal Ripken shouldn't have broken it.
No, he shouldn't have.
No.
No, he shouldn't.
The Iron Horse should still have it.
Nope.
And I think that was kind of one of those ones where I think that might have been. I think that actually ushered in the era of, because it was right before McGuire and Sosa and all of that stuff. Now I think that ushered in the era of using like the true power of the national media. Not like they didn't do it before. And 56 games was a big deal, and 400 was a big deal, and all the records come and records go. But that was the one that ESPN.
It was huge coverage.
It was massive coverage. Yeah. And I think that they saw like, wow, people buy T-shirts for this, and people want to say that they've been there, and we can jack up the ticket prices and all of these things.
Absolutely.
I think that really ushered in this era of this.
Of stat watching.
Record watching. Of record watching, particularly.
Okay.
All right. So,
all right. No, I like that. No, that's you're right. You're right.
All
that's
right,
good.
Give me another one.
Well, let's go with hockey. Yeah, I mean, we're going to go with Gretzky. I'm gonna say one, but it's really like three or four categories.
I have the numbers right in front of me.
Career goals, 894.
Okay, you ready for this?
Nobody's going to have 894 goals in their career.
Okay, 894 goals in his career. 1,963 assists in his career.
Insane.
Most points in a career by a player is 2,857. Bye.
Yeah, Wayne Gretzky.
Exactly. Most 100-plus point seasons.
Yes.
This is insane.
Yep.
15.
Yep, 15.
15. Average career in the NHL is what, 4.5 years, 3.5 years or something?
Yeah.
15 times he broke 100 points.
Yep.
Most, interestingly enough, there's a tie.
So bottom line, the one record that people will not break is
being
Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, you will not be Wayne Gretzky. Yeah. I will throw this one at you, though.
See a documentary, Being Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
Yeah, with John Malkovich.
Yeah, John Malkovich was in it, and so was
John Cusack.
Yeah, John Cusack. there's an interesting record here. I'm going to throw another hockey record.
I love interesting ones.
All right. This one, I have to say, this one's definitely never going to get broken. And I'm going to have to go with...
Did he used to get in trouble on purpose just so he can go in the penalty box? And
be damned if he didn't. wait. I'm sorry.
We should get that clip.
All right. We have it. I'm not playing it, though. I forget it. All right. Henry Richard was a former member of the Montreal Canadiens. He played from 1955 to 1975.
Yes. He played with one of my relatives, Ralph Backstrom.
Are
you laughing?
Yeah, right. Okay, good.
Okay.
Now... Question. How many times does Henry Richard, if he's from Woonsocket, how many times is his name on the Stanley Cup? 20-year career.
I'm gonna say over 10 and under 14.
It's 11.
Okay.
A man's name is on the Stanley Cup. He's won 11 Stanley Cup championships. Now, if there's no people don't dispute these things in hockey necessarily. But if this were any other sport, here would come the, oh, there was only 12 teams in the league in 55. There was only da, 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 da.
Great. How about this only shut your freaking mouth?
Yeah, and bow down before the church
yeah,
of
the
Mr.
greatness that you'll never
I'm Henry
be.
Rashad.
Yeah. Yep.
So my personal favorite record in the NHL, though, because this is you know one of my favorite sports.
Dave Williams, right?
Dave Williams.
Yeah. Go ahead. What's the
score? All right. Dave Williams, it's not that his record is not his five teams, Maple Leafs, Canucks, Red Wings, Kings, and Whalers, but Dave King.
Oh, I remember the half of
Williams. Oh, I'm sorry. David Williams. David Williams. In 14 seasons. Accrued,
just 14.
14 years. Yep. He accrued 3,966 penalty minutes. This guy.
He lived in the penalty
okay,
box.
Okay. Before Richard Sherman, this guy is the original thug. He's the OT. This guy must have been a monster on skates, just swinging his stick around like fools. That is the record. Those are some of the records that, like, those will never be broken.
And how many games were they playing back then?
You know what? The
60 games?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact number, but it wasn't always an 82-game schedule.
I'm going to call it 60.
Okay.
That's pretty safe, I think.
All right.
Yeah, he averaged like 5 penalty minutes
a game
for his entire career.
Every single solitary time he laced them up.
That's almost 270 minutes a season.
And by the way, when you play for 5 teams, that means you're not on the first line.
Yeah. No,
so this was
exactly. So you actually sat more than most other people. And still,
you were ushered onto the ice to commit a penalty.
Yep. 2 penalties every game for his entire career.
Yep.
That's what he did.
Throw me another record.
We'll want to stick with hockey?
Mm. Go wherever you want, man. This is all you.
Gordy Howe.
Oh, hockey's Iron Man.
Yep. Okay. Most games ever played in a career.
Yep.
1767. 1,767 games.
And his knees.
He played on the ice.
His knees are held together now by Gorilla Glue and
spit. And remember
that?
This is when they just wore, balsa wood as shin guards
and they had to wait
fine
two
linens,
winters, skate on pump.
Fine linens as their headgear.
All right, I got one for you. My favorite trivia question I actually have to ask this one to my wife like once every 2 years.
McTavish.
Who was the last guy? Well, all right, wait, hold on. Who's the last guy in the NHL to not have to wear a helmet?
McTavish.
What's his first name?
Greg.
Craig, yes. Craig McTavish.
Greg, come on, man. We're in New England. It's all the same.
Yeah.
Greg and Craig.
Said Eric with a K or a
C? No, you freaking son of a... Never again.
All right. What about
it's
the NBA?
Always Eric with a C.
Give me an NBA record that's never going to get broken.
Oh, Will Chamberlain's 100-point game.
There you go. Perfect.
That's it.
You don't need to talk to anybody else about anything else.
No, I'm good.
Will Chamberlain.
Yeah.
And it's so funny how often...
Well, Red Auerbach and his championships.
All right, you know what? College basketball, John Wooden. UCLA.
Yeah.
Running that, what was it, 8 years in a row, won the national championship.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably even throw in Auriemma. You know what I mean? With his women's team.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, Gino. Rock solid. And let me think. What other ones here? There's so many great records. Now, the NFL rushing record, going to get broken.
That was longevity.
It was. And
you know what I mean? And I mean, maybe the single season record, but I mean, we saw how close Adrian Peterson got to it. I mean.
A single season's primed to go.
I don't know if it's primed to go. The fact that, I mean, Adrian Peterson had a phenomenal monster year, a year that we haven't seen in a very, very long time, and he still came up a little bit short, I think that's going to be a record that's going to stand for a long time, especially the wear and tear on the running backs, the evolution of the game. I think that's going to be an extremely, extremely tough record to break.
See, here's my thing.
But
on,
not impossible.
Here's my thing on the evolution of the game. And
the evolution of dance.
And we're done.
Yes.
But with the evolution of the game, you make up a great point, and it's something I definitely want to make sure that I mention. See, the NFL being such a cyclical, like major turnarounds happen during the course of a very short period of time. The Wildcat comes in a couple of years ago when the Dolphins.
Yeah, they love the novelty.
Yeah,
they used it properly.
Well, the Dolphins. Go and beat the Patriots with a Wildcat, within 6 weeks, everybody's got a Wildcat.
Everybody. For a year and a half.
Yeah, and now nobody uses
they didn't know,
it.
They didn't know how to let it go.
Now, I think one of the things
that I saw a couple of plays this past weekend.
Well, no, you know what's happening now is there's been an evolution, again, in the game, where the Wildcat puts a running back behind center, okay, in the shotgun, and he's allowed to basically do whatever he wants. The thing about the evolution of that Wildcat is they run the thing called the pistol and they call the read option.
Yeah.
That's the quarterback stands in the shotgun with a running back behind him.
And they both go.
And they bring the slot receivers or what they would call in like college, they would bring them in wings.
The guard too.
And they start moving them around. That's Percy Harvin. We brought the jet sweep and the rocket.
Yep.
And I don't want to get too technical on the aspects of the game, but
come on, now, coach.
Well, that's what you saw with when you saw the NFL started to draft players like Geno Smith, EJ Manuel, RG3, Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick. Teams made a dedicated effort to move in the direction of a read option style.
Yep.
The thing is that has zero longevity for your quarterback. It gets them killed.
Yep.
That's why Russell Wilson's so exceptional. He's such a special player.
Yep.
Even Kaepernick gets his ass handed to him.
Yeah. No, he definitely does. And he's a beast. I said this last year. I think he's a flash in the pan as well. I don't think he's going to have the longevity of a career that Russell Wilson's going to have, and none of them are going to have it the way Andrew Luck has it.
I'm telling you now, you heard it here first. Jim Harbaugh won't be coaching there within the next year and a half because he'll be coaching Michigan. As soon as that job comes up, that's Harbaugh's dream job. He wants to go back to Michigan.
And with all the bullshit he's supposedly been dealing with down there, and even though he produces a
McDonald's
winning ball club.
Yeah.
He produces a winning ball club and knows how to coach.
Yeah.
And
he knows how to wear pleated pants.
Yeah, he does. He wears them so
well. He's sexy.
But yet his players still don't really give him the respect that they should. Constantly complain about him to the media anonymously, of course.
Of course.
You know what? So I'm just sick of it. So yeah, when that Michigan job comes up,
I hope if it doesn't,
he's out of there anyway. And a year and a half, I think is perfect. I don't think this is his last year, but I could see next year being
his final
year.
Yeah, and you know what? If that guy stays in the NFL, you know where he would fit? Like
Miami. Yep.
And New York Jets. If they brought him to the New York Jets or the Miami Dolphins.
I don't know about the Jets ownership, dude.
I don't know. It's not about necessarily. Here's what I'm trying
Rex
to.
Rex Ryan should have been producing a winner by now.
The team. Well, this is my point. The team that gets
coach.
What a Harbaugh can do. We clearly know that they can get their teams in the Super Bowl. Yeah. But what they can do is help a team pivot. The team that's right there at the very edge, they can help them push it right over the top.
Okay.
You saw it with the Ravens. You saw it with the 49ers. You saw it with Stanford. Like, anytime a Harbaugh gets involved.
Stanford was on the cusp, and that was definitely
and now,
with that little extra that they needed to bring the program together.
And there's a reason Andrew Luck decided to go there, and I would think that Mr. Harbaugh, he had an awful lot to do with it. So Eric and I are going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. And when we get back, we're going to do our our NFL picks of the week. And I think that we're going to go over the last couple of weeks of picks just to make sure that we all have our ducks in a row.
Break them. Seems kind of odd. No barking from the dog, no smog. And mama cooked the breakfast with no hog. I got my grub on, but didn't dig out. Finally got a call from a girl I wanna dig out. Hooked it up for later as I hit the dope. Thinking, will I live another 24? I gotta go, cause I got me a drop top. And if I hit the switch, I can make the ass drop. The stop at a red light. Looking in the mirror, not a jacker in sight. And everything is alright. I got a beep from Kim, and she can what? All night. The bummies and I'm maxing, y'all. Which part are y'all playing basketball? Get me on the court and I'm trouble. Last week messed around and got a triple-double. Freaking niggas everywhere like MJ.
I can't say today was a good day.
Yes, sir. Hey, stick with it. We'll be back in a sec.
Drove to
showers. Didn't even get no static from the cowards. Cause just yesterday, them booze tried to blast me. Saw the police and they rolled right past me. No flexing, didn't even look in a nigga's direction as I ran the intersection. Went to Show Dog's house, they was watching you on TV raps. What's the haps on the cracks? Shake 'em up, shake 'em up, shake 'em up, shake 'em. Roll 'em in a circle of niggas and watch me break 'em with the 7, 7-Eleven, 7-Eleven, 7 even backed old Little Joe. I picked up the cash flow, then we played bones, and I'm yelling domino. Plus nobody I know got killed in South Central LA. Today was a good day. My nigga's house paid. Picked up a girl, been trying to fuck since the 12th grade. It's ironic, I had the boo, she had the chronic. The Lakers beat the Supersonics. I felt on the big fat fanny, pulled out the jammy and killed the poo nanny. And my dick runs deep, so deep, so deep, put her ass to sleep. Woke her up around 1, she didn't hesitate to call Ice Cube the top gun. Drove her to the pad and I'm coasting. Took another sip of the potion, hit the 3-wheel motion. I was glad everything had worked out. Dropped her ass off and then chirped out. Today was like one of those fly dreams. Didn't even see a berry flashing those high beams. No helicopter looking for a murder. 2 in the morning, got the fat burger. Even saw the lights of the Goodyear blimp, and it went Ice Cube's a pimp. Drunk as hell, but no throwing up. Halfway home, and my pager's still blowing up. Today I didn't even have to use my AK. I gotta say it was a good day.
Yo, whoa, wait a minute. Well, Ice Cube, don't swear.
It's a family show.
It's a family show.
Easy.
So welcome back to Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social. I'm Ted.
And I am Eric with a C.
And what we usually do right in this, you know, right in this wheelhouse is we like to pick some NFL games.
Oh, no.
What?
No, Mr. 13-1.
That's what.
Well, 13-2 with a tie.
I'm pretty excited on that.
Yeah, that was a great week.
That's why I want to get to it, man.
Yeah, nope. We're gonna pick the Thursday game. We're gonna save the rest of the picks for our Sunday show.
All right,
because that's what we do. People are counting on us on Sunday morning.
All right,
you're talking. Get our picks out.
Eric is not. He's not talking me off the ledge. He has taken my hand and walked me off the ledge.
I walked you off the ledge.
All right.
Sleep now, Tony Danza.
This has to be one of the best Thursday night matchups, straight up, that I've seen in a long time.
Although, anytime the Patriots are playing, again, Dolphins fan, anytime the Patriots are playing on Thursday night, it's a good game.
It's a lot of fun.
You know what I
mean? It really is.
It's a good time. Tom Brady is a big fan.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, people who complain about the Thursday night game.
No, Tom Brady loves the Thursday night game. It's funny.
Saying, oh, we don't have enough time, blah, blah, blah. Well, what about the 10 freaking days you have until you get to play again?
Yeah,
that's why Tom Brady loves it.
Yeah,
he's like, are you kidding me?
I got like
he's
3 days off.
I get 10 more days. We get the time off, get to enjoy football for a change, get to watch it with your family. At Thursday night football games, why wouldn't you be excited as a player?
Yeah, right. And I couldn't agree more. And this Thursday, San Diego at Denver.
At Denver. I think that's going to be a competitive game for sure.
Yep.
I do have Denver winning by 2 touchdowns.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, so... Just laying a smackdown on him?
No.
2 touchdowns, a lot of points, man.
It's going to be close going into the third and fourth quarter. I think Denver's going to walk away with a 2 touchdown win, somewhere in the realm of 37-23.
Wow, man, that's just a massive score. I think if Denver wins, maybe 7.
Touchdown. So listen, 1 score game.
The Vegas line on this has Denver at 7.5. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So San Diego's getting a touchdown and a half, 7.5 points. I see that as being pretty much spot on, except I'm going San Diego. They're for real.
Come on, dude.
No, they're for real.
They're for real?
They're for real.
They're so for real that they're going to beat Denver in Denver?
Correct. On Thursday night.
Really?
Yep. And
you really must love that bolo-wearing mofo there. And
it has little... Bolo tied nine kids. It has little to do with how much I like Philip Rivers as a quarterback, as a prototypical quarterback. And as much as I think that San Diego's defense is surprisingly good.
Yep.
They have all of the weapons in place, including Philip Rivers, to finally take it to Denver, like to put some points up on Denver. They have an offensive line that's shown themselves already this year to be stout, to say the least.
They've been given a good protection. Obviously, we know how good Philip Rivers is when he's in the pocket. In the pocket, but even when he has to kind of get out of the pocket.
Yeah.
When he's on the movie, he makes stuff happen.
If you're looking at like things that make a quarterback great, one of those things is pocket presence. If a guy has to stay in the pocket, Russell Wilson doesn't have to. So, but his pocket presence is still good, but he's small. So he has a difficult time seeing over linemen and stuff. I got that. But when you're looking at a guy with pocket presence, that's the guy. Remember Dan Marino, fastest release in NFL history.
Yep. And make a guy miss just by shifting his feet a little bit. It'd be amazing. A little subtle move, boom, the guy went by him.
Yeah, and now Tom Brady's really good at it, although sometimes he gets a little skittish, it seems like.
They're older now, you know what I mean? Just like Marino's faded as he got older. That's what happened with Tom,
too. And I believe that I believe that Denver is clearly the best team in the NFL right now.
Yes. They're playing like the best team in the NFL.
I think the San Diego team, though, I think they're getting underestimated. I think that they're...
And they love it. They love being underestimated. Phillip Rivers thrives on that.
And it's he's done it every time that they were picked to be a world beater.
They fell went 8-8. They 8-8. Yeah.
And every time that they were...
7-5.
Hey, they're good. Yep. All of a sudden, there's a 12-4 team that's in the AFC Championship game. So this is why... Oh, sure, he's not Chris Humphreys. But this is why I see that was the last quarterback that brought San Diego to a Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm almost positive. I'll double check it, but I'm almost positive it's Chris Humphreys.
San Diego.
Superchargers. We're putting that on air.
So you have San Diego.
I do. I got San Diego.
I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Nope.
I mean, I'll give you that.
Yeah. This isn't a crazy pick.
I've seen worse picks from you.
Yeah.
I still have Denver. But,
yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
I think, you know what?
I wouldn't be shocked if San Diego pulls it off.
My thing, I think Denver's just the safe pick.
I mean, it's just, of course it is, but, you know, kind of like, we picked Denver. I mean, not Denver, when we picked Detroit.
That's why we keep going with them.
So we keep on picking them with the caveat,
we did pick
them. The division, so we have to pick them to every game.
Yep.
I just don't see them going into Denver and beating him. If this game's in San Diego, I'd probably even take a flyer out on them saying that they're going to win the game.
I
just don't see him going to Denver and pulling it off.
Yeah, all right. I can back that up.
Yeah,
I
got you. So we're split on that one, and that's fine.
And as I sit here right now, I'm looking at the, there's a lot of exciting stuff coming up that we can talk about on Sunday morning. Some of the things I want to make sure we touch on real quick are the Boston Bruins of the state of the NHL right now. Bruins looked a little coming and going.
Yeah, a little shaky. I really wasn't, expecting this start from them.
The win one, lose one, win one, lose one.
Win one, lose three.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was a nice showing last night.
Mm-hmm. Three goals in the third period, you said?
But they gave up two in what was it, 30 seconds?
Yep.
Something like that. But then coming right out in the third period and outscoring them 3-0. That was pleasant to see waking up this morning.
It was. And,
of course, they are the Bruins, so they're well-coached. They're well-disciplined. But I need to see more.
Now, there's also another thing I might want to, bring up that later that day is, go back and touch a little bit on the Ray Rice is trying to get reinstated into the NFL.
Yeah, filing a grievance with the Ravens.
And there's a couple of things that came up. If you get a chance, check out Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel this week. It has a really cool feature on, like, sort of maybe some of the early symptoms of CTE and dementia that might be facing NFL players now. And
so we're talking about the outburst, the violent outburst.
Yeah, and how
maybe tied into domestic violence.
Yeah, and how disproportionate it seems to be in the NFL with the, you know, the frequency of the head injuries and things like that. And it shows up, you know, Junior Seau, no history of it. Dave Duerson, no history of it. Both of those guys finished their lives by beating their wives and shooting themselves in the heart. So these are types of things that maybe
Seau did try to drive off a cliff first before he had
he did. And see, and this is the type of thing that now what
very
if
very out of character.
Yeah, and now what if these things were showing up in players 2 decades before that, and
but
we didn't know what we were looking at?
No, because you can only find out posthumously.
And with that, Eric and I definitely remain, will remain alive and kicking. And
well, God willing, and may the good Lord, I'm sorry, I can't do it.
It's okay, partner, but so don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS.
Or our website, ericandted.com.
Hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
And hey, just go to iTunes, man. We're all over the place if you look for Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
Stumble my mirth, beating worker. I'm chancing my family berserker.